Well, I'm looking at the Drudge page. And Drudge is on this in the right way. You got a page, you got a picture of the shooter up there, and the headline, "You caused me to do this," in quotes, which is a reference to this guy's note, blaming rich kids and American debauchery. And, of course, the drive-by media will, oh, man, does that fit a template? Yes, yes, yes. We've got poverty and we've got rich people. And we've got people who have a lot, people who don't have much. And we've got a debauched society and culture. And, of course, yeah, then we can understand why the guy might have flipped. Yes, yeah, because America's unjust. Again, the question needs to be asked, if it was so bad here, why didn't this guy pack up and go back home? He was here for 14 years. Greetings and welcome back, folks. It's Rush Limbaugh, the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. Happy to have you with us. And we'll get to your phone calls soon this hour, 800-282-2882 from redstate.org. Less than 24 hours, redstate.com, sorry, redstate.com. Less than 24 hours after the deadliest shooting spree in U.S. history, liberal Representative Jim Moran of Virginia went on the radio in Northern Virginia to launch a political attack against President Bush, congressional Republicans, and the NRA. Moran suggested Republicans were to blame for the tragedy at VTech yesterday, left 33 dead, injured another 30. The anti-gun congressman said Republican policies made it easy for the shooter to obtain a gun. This guy was, the serial numbers were filed off of these two guns, were they not? Well, now, I'm going to tell you, if you file the serial numbers off your gun, it means you have evil intent in your mind and your heart, and there is no gun control law, period, that is going to stop you. And grab audio soundbite 18 again, if you're just joining us. I want you to go back and listen to Ed Rendell, the governor of Pennsylvania, talking about that Amish tragedy, the shooting there in Pennsylvania last fall. This is from October of last year. And a reporter said, hey, we need to beef up security at all of our other schools in the state.
You can make all the changes you want, but you can never stop a random act of violence by a person who is intent on killing themselves. It's the same thing as protecting the President of the United States. You can have 50 Secret Service agents there, but if someone is willing to swap their life for the president's, they're going to get a point-blank shot at the president.
Wonder if he'll be a guest on any drive-by shows this afternoon or tonight. I wouldn't look for Governor Rendell to be invited on some of these shows because he's not, at least with that comment, unless he changed his mind, he's not going to fit the template of the propaganda the drive-by media is using this incident to promote. Remember this, the two biggest acts of terrorism in this country occurred with box cutters, pocket knives, gasoline, and fertilizer. That would be 9/11 in Oklahoma City, and everybody knows it. And I'll tell you something else, killers know that it is a crime to kill people, and they don't care. But I really resent, I caught myself even falling into the trap toward the end of the previous hour. I resent the fact we even have to debate the whole concept of gun control, and the drive-bys have taken over, and that's exactly all this issue represents to them, is an opportunity once again to propagandize about the Second Amendment. And it happens every time some nutcase kills people. Now, interestingly enough, it didn't happen when Janet Reno conducted the Waco invasion. When the Waco invasion against the Branch Davidians took place, there was no drive-by commentary on excess use of force by government on its own citizens. Because the drive-bys thought they were a bunch of religious wackos. And Janet Reno said they were abusing children in there. So the way to solve this is burn everybody down and burn everything that they were in up. So every time some nutcase goes out and kills people, that becomes secondary to the agenda-driven item that is gun control. You've got uninformed people talking about, you know, what do we do about these automatic weapons? How we need an honest dialogue. It's and you got Feynman out there singing, well, yeah, this is gonna reignite the gun control debate. Virginia is the headquarters of the NRA, home to loose gun laws and so forth. Well, they're going to ignite the debate as though they're just bystanders and just watching, and there's going to be a debate that crops. I'm sure some leftist groups will you know, start the debate again, they too will take advantage of the opportunity to do that. But the drive-bys will act like, hey, we're just bystanders watching this. They're going to be the instigators of the debate. So, you know, we got to focus on handguns. We got to do all this. We got to get ahead of this now. And as though all of this is going to make a difference. And it wouldn't. Howard Fineman also said that there's something about this event that adds to the sense in the country that things have run off the rails. And everybody in the country, just all upset. The country's on the wrong track and so forth. Of course, that's aimed at Bush being the president. That's also another template. People are unhappy. People are uneasy. People are nervous and so forth. I don't get the sense that people think the country is run off or has run off the rails. That's what they want to happen. That's what they want the perception to be. So, you know, I don't know how many others have taken the tack I've taken it, but I can't help. I watched some of this last night and this morning, and to me there was only one way to go. And that's to try to bring some sanity to this where there isn't much. I mean, there is no sanity whatsoever in the confines of the event itself. There's very little sanity in the way this is being reported. You've got campaigns for Pulitzer Prizes being waged now by drive-by media reporters who see Katrina 2. And they're out there doing exactly what they did. So I think that this is, as I say, last week it was there after the First Amendment, Don Imus. Look at them. They got Katrina wrong. They got the whole Imus situation wrong. Now they're getting this wrong because they let their elitism and their liberalism blind them from doing their jobs. And, you know, all these media that went on Imus and those that wouldn't stand up for him and so forth, ran for the tall grass, that's the drive-by media. The drive-bys are the Imus media. I want to throw a little thought out there, folks. You know, we're all talking now about, well, some people are, we need more gun control laws. We need to make sure that people can't get guns and so forth. There's going to be a convocation at 2 o'clock, 46 minutes from now. And there will be prayers. And there have been prayers ever since the first word of this leaked out, reported yesterday morning and all through the day. And that's fine. Don't misunderstand me here. But perhaps we could have done a little of that prior to the incident as well. The drive-bys want to go back and take a look at the gun control laws and say, well, that's where the problem exists. Were I to say to a drive-by media person who, were he or she on this show, I can imagine the reaction I would get. Maybe there needs to be more religion and prayer at our universities, folks. Maybe there needs to be a sense on college campi that there's something bigger than the individual. Maybe there's something larger than the professor. Maybe that, you know, maybe they're not too young to learn that there are many things in life larger than self. Maybe being able to take comfort in a relationship with that which is larger than self, i.e. God, would have a calming effect on some of these people who go absolutely nuts and lose their sanity. But that's even arguable. But can you imagine the leftists hearing me say this now? More prayer, more religion at our university? Separation of church and state would be the template there. You're trying to force a religion. No. You don't understand. You can't possibly because you're irreligious. But it's no different than going out and saying, hey, we need gun control after the fact. This guy, again, I'm going to repeat this. I think this is profound. I think it's salient. This guy's on a student visa for 14 years. I don't know if he's illegally here or not. That's not my point. But maybe we need to examine the student visa program. Maybe what we ought to do is make sure from now on that no foreign students get into this country to go to school. They obviously don't understand our culture. They can't deal with it. They go wacko. They go nuts. Well, doesn't that make as much sense as saying, let's ban all guns? In fact, let's close the borders. Let's ban all immigration, legal and illegal. After the guy was from South Korea. He was in South Korea, living here for 14 years. Country he didn't like very much, it turns out. Didn't go home, but he didn't like the country. So if we're going to say let's ban all guns, let's close the borders and ban all immigration, and let's eliminate the student visa program. Let's get rid of all foreign students. Can't have them here. Does that make it? That makes as much sense, doesn't it, as the drive-by argument on guns? Be back in a moment. Your phone calls are next. Sit with us. And we're back. El Rushball and the EIB Network. Let me throw this out again. Maybe there's not enough religion. Maybe there's not enough prayer on college campus these days. Yeah. Well, you come on, Rush. Why do you want to try to make this controversial? I'm not making it controversial. I'm reacting to the drive-bys who want to get rid of everybody's guns here when it's not a factor in this. It has no relationship whatsoever. Gun control, to whatever degree, would not have stopped anything that happened at VTech yesterday. But that doesn't matter. What happened is not even of really any importance to the drive-bys or many on the left. It's just, oh, wow, what an opportunity has fallen into our lap. Gun control, we can finally go close the NRA or what have you. Well, I'll tell you what, maybe the liberals and their culture of death is the problem, folks. There is a culture of death with liberalism, from abortion on. Embryonic stem cells, you name it, euthanasia, I mean, they own that as well as they own defeat in Iraq. Maybe the constant effort to ban God and faith from the public square is a problem here. Maybe the coddling of criminals by liberals, including judges, has created this environment. Maybe. See, I can sit here and speculate all day long, just as the drive-bys were doing all yesterday and last night. Maybe it's not enough God. Maybe it's the culture of death on the part of the left. Maybe there needs to be more religion in the public square. Maybe the tarring and feathering of religious people, which happens in the Democrat Party and the American left, is responsible for this. I mean, we can play this game all day long. I'm telling you, this happened because they got a nutcase who had some sort of grievance somewhere. We can sit here and blame aspects of this country all we want, and if we fall into that trap, we are going to be making a huge, huge mistake. There's already enough guilt in this country that the libs have slathered everybody with over the prosperity and the other things of this country that liberals tell us we need to be guilty of, and this is just going to be added to it. Before we go to the phones, I got to share with you some excerpts of a column in the New York Daily News today by Michael Daly. So here you got a New York liberal, and the point of the column is, hey, Virginia. Still love those guns, Virginia? Ready to admit that it's madness for any psycho to be able to saunter into a gun shop and acquire firepower capable of killing 32 innocents? Feel different now? The blood is the blood of so many of your most promising young people. You've been shrugging for decades as illegal guns from your state plague our city, killing and maiming and terrorizing New Yorkers by the thousands. At one point, comprising 47% of the guns our cops recovered. Oh, did you people of Virginia now know that you're responsible for 47% of the guns in New York? You're responsible for the decades of illegal guns killing and maiming and terrorizing New Yorkers by the thousands? Did you people, Virginia, know that? Well, if you didn't, you should, because I'm telling you, Michael Daly, the New York Daily News today, you went into a tizzy when Mayor Bloomberg sued some of your gun shops after undercover agents made fraudulent straw purchases. Your idea of gun control has been to pass a law making it illegal for undercover agents like those Bloomberg sent south to make such buys. You seem to think that it was no big deal when an aide to your junior U.S. senator got caught carrying an automatic pistol into the Capitol. You, having voted Senator James Webb into office as an avowed opponent of gun control, Mr. Daly doesn't mention he's a Democrat. And Mr. Daly doesn't mention that nobody in a drive-by media cared a rat's rear end that Jim Webb's assistant got caught with a gun, and everybody from the drive-by's the Democratic Party, shoo that under the rug, sweep it under the rug. Well, it was an accident. Webb didn't know where he got the gun. This shouldn't have happened. And then Webb says, I care about my personal security. Come on, Mr. Daly. The same drive-by media that's up in arms today over this didn't care a whit that one of Webb's assistants tried to go into the Capitol with a loaded gun. Tried to poo-poo, just like they don't care that Dianne Feinstein might have been sending money from a military committee to her husband's defense contractor companies. You don't care when Democrats do this stuff. Don't even mention that Webb's a Democrat in this piece. He closes it out by saying, no wonder some of our cops up here in New York say the bumper stickers down in Virginia should really read Virginia is for gun lovers. What do you say now, Virginia? Mr. Daly, You are not showing proper appreciation. Why, if it weren't for the people of Virginia, the Republicans would still control the Senate. People of Virginia elected old Jim Webb. Washington Post and all those people got out there with that macaca business, decided to destroy George Allen. So you, your political party, your leftist, I mean, they've elected Jim Webb. I mean, if the people of Virginia are stupid, the people of Virginia are idiots, then let's indict them for electing Webb. Let's be consistent here. Starting in the phones with Ciara in Las Vegas. Hi, Ciara. Nice to have you. You're up first on the Rush Limbaugh program. Hi.
Hi, Rush. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's my point. As a very conservative college student, I feel very comfortable saying this. And if the true reason that this gentleman decided to shoot up Virginia Tech was due to his hatred of the United States, I feel comfortable blaming the liberal professor he probably listened to preach that idea.
Hey, folks. This is an excellent question. Let me rephrase it in host terms, okay? I would say this. If this guy writes this note and rich kids and American debauchery, in other words, our culture, sent him over the edge, then who in the world taught him this is what you're saying. You're suggesting, and it might have been told day in and day out as a student by not just college professors, but maybe when he went to high school, he's been here for 14 years, maybe he's been told how America sucks. Maybe he's been told all of these things about America that are inequitable, unfair, unjust, and all that. Who put these ideas in his head? Did he notice these things watching television? Did he drive through the nice areas of Virginia and see big houses he couldn't live in? What caused this?
That's a
very valid question that you ask.
And in fact, I think I would challenge the media to go in and sit through a couple of his professor's lectures and listen to what they have to say, and then we can place blame somewhere.
Let me ask you something, Ciara. You think that's going to happen?
You think
the drive-by, even if they did it and found what you think they will find, do you think they would report that? Well, that would shoot this whole agenda to sky high.
Yeah, I know. But no, heavens no, they won't report it. But you can do it, Rush.
Yeah, I don't have to do it because we already know, just as you do.
Right. That's
but
true.
It may well be. We know what he was a student of. We know what he was studying, and we know other things. If somebody wants to get what he's written, I don't know how much of it would be publicly available, given these circumstances. Still an interesting thing to ponder. Guy has this much dislike for the country. Where'd he learn it? It had to be learned. Because otherwise, he wouldn't have come here if he thought of this country the way he thinks of it, or thought of it when he wrote the note before he came. And he didn't leave, by the way. Keep reminding you of this. The country's still rotten. He did not leave. He chose to stay here for whatever reasons. So he had chains. He had a lock to keep his victims from escaping. He had two pistols, one bought in March, one in April. Vest filled with ammo. Somehow some kind of gun control law was going to stop him. He's got this note out there saying that American rich kids bummed him out. Rails against rich kids and the debauchery of the American culture. Anyway, just be vigilant on this because it's going to intensify. This is the kind of story that drive-bys, they can't contain themselves. I mean, this is, well, everybody else is out there just trying to understand this and feel in ways they can't even define. They feel so bad. The drive-bys are excited. Got an opportunity here to advance the political agenda. That's why they're all revved up about it. More of your phone calls are coming up. President Bush is going to speak in about a half hour, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, live at Virginia Tech. They've had a convocation there. We will carry that. We will gyp the president on this after our top of the hour break. Let's go to Cleveland. Jack, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's nice to have you with us, sir.
Thank you. You know, we as Americans really need to start forming a more perfect union, and in the regard, I think, is that we got to help our brothers and sisters. You mentioned through a common faith. I believe that's the case. And in this situation, this is one thing, but this shows how soft we can be. You know, when you address the president and go with him in his war, in the war that's going on, you know, we still have Al-Qaeda, and there's still somewhere. And we better know our neighbors. We better call our congressmen. We better try to get better security for us so we can have domestic tranquility.
Hold it. Just what do you mean we've become soft?
What's the number one movie right now? Disturbia. Look how much money people threw at that stupid movie. If they took the same amount of money and did, you know, efforts to help other people like you do with leukemia and that, you know, people need to start, you know, giving a hand to other people. And if people have issues or if you know somebody, if somebody knew that young man who was evidently had mental issues, if somebody knew him and just let him go, they're just as much to blame. You have to help other people. If you get too rich and too wealthy and too arrogant, you're not going to help the poor. The poor need to be helped. Everybody needs a good chance here in America.
Wait a minute. We don't know that the guy was poor in the sense that we define poverty.
No, but he was mentally ill.
We do know that. We also know that that he was in a creative writing class, and that the professor was really disturbed by some of the things that this guy was writing, and they did send him to the counselor here. But there's no report beyond that. We don't know what action was taken, if any. But we do know that there were some people at the university apparently who were troubled by some of the disturbing things that he had written.
Well, what happens when our security gets breached because of Al-Qaeda here again? What happens then? What are we going to do? Hold on.
What is this psychobabble? We got to help each other business have to do with Al-Qaeda breaking security coming?
Well, look at this. You've got a university where kids go to school that, you know, they want to have a right to go to school. I want to be able to go on the local bus line and be able to go to my job, okay? So I want to feel safe. There's not enough money being spent here in our own local city.
Come on.
I can give you a case in point, my own city.
There is more money being spent here on everything than ever before. Now, I understand some people are upset today. If I wanted to be cynical, I could say, what in the world are you feeling unsafe for? The Democrats are telling us they're even going to take away the words war on terror. The only thing you ought to be afraid of is Bush. Because if Bush hadn't done all this stuff in Iraq, why nobody, no Islamo-fascists would be attacked. I mean, I've heard the Democrats say this. But chalk this up to the fact that you're beside yourself here. I'm still not clear what he means by soft targets, or we've become soft. I thought I knew where he was going, but then he didn't get there, so I'm not sure exactly what he means. Jack, thanks for the call. Mark in Centerville, Virginia, nice to have you on the EIB network.
Nice to be here, Rush. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I think you touched the nerve here when you said about the God issue, and my point is the desensitization of human value in our society, whether it's abortion, euthanasia. And what I really think is an issue is video violence, video gaming. I will guarantee you, I'll bet my last dollar, my pocket, that this shooter will be found to have been a compulsive video gamer. And when people are living that kind of lifestyle, as college students do this a lot.
Let's say you're right.
Okay.
Not every video gamer goes out and murders 33 people on the college campus, though. There's more to this than that. We can find all kinds of societal problems and ills, but the fact of the matter is that whatever you would look at as a bad influence, such as video games, as you mentioned, it may desensitize people, but it doesn't turn everyone into mass murderers.
No, you're absolutely right, but the classic forms of brainwashing are involved with compulsive video gaming. Sleep deprivation, food deprivation, isolation, and as I say, if you're shooting people 8 hours a day in a cyber environment, then it lowers the resistance to honoring human life.
There's no question that some people probably are affected by that. In this case, let's not jump the gun on this guy and get him and make him a video gamer. We'll find out soon enough everything we want to know about this guy, and I guarantee you that much of what we find out will be America's fault. Just be patient. This stuff will all come out. I want to ask you people a question. I want you to be honest. You don't have to tell anybody else what you think. You don't. You can answer this privately. I'm going to ask you a question. You do not have to tell anybody what you answered. When you first heard the news yesterday, and a death toll kept rising, and it finally got up to the 30 to 32 number, the 33, how many of you were not really all that profoundly affected by it? And the reason I ask the question is, how many of you have become desensitized in the previous, well, the caller used it, the word, there is so much violence on television and in the movies, the video games, I guess, you would throw those in, violence in newscasts. We hear about 35 people dead in Iraq every day. And some people, just after a while, you don't have an emotional reservoir left. Your emotion's all spent. You can only care about 35 people shot. Because, you know, here we had 30, 33 people killed, 30 injured in one incident. But the number of deaths on the highways, which, granted, are not murder. But there's a pretty big murder rate in the country in various cities. Around the country. I just wonder how many people, when this first happened, were desensitized. It didn't affect them the way it would have if it... And I have no answer for this. I'm just asking the question. Because I think that the reason I ask this is because this is so extraordinary, I would be surprised if a whole lot of people said that it didn't affect them. But within our generations, our two generations, last 50 years, there've been a substantial number of these things. Not every day, not every year, not every month, of course. But they do happen, but they are not symptomatic of something wrong in the country. I do. Now, when you have, I remember when I was hosting my television show, this would be the early 90s, and there was the first incident I can remember of a 7-year-old killing a 4-year-old. And I remember thinking that, Bob Green, who worked for a Chicago newspaper and wrote a piece about how it just seemed to him America was losing its soul. And concurrent with that was, are we not teaching God enough? Are we getting rid of public displays of religion and the public references to God too much that we are causing people to not recognize there are things larger than ourselves in life? And you could ask the same question about this. Are we losing our soul here? And I would disagree with it in this instance, although it is troubling. But they're not, these incidents are not common. They are extraordinary. And if they were happening frequently, then we would say, okay, something is definitely wrong. But the one thing that I find here in talking to people, the last option people want to choose is this guy was a nut, he had mental issues, he was insane, and he engaged in a random act of violence. That's just too simple. It's just too simple. We can't, no, it's got to be more to it. It's got to be video games, it's got to be gun control, it's got to be all these other things. Everybody wants to try to look at this, or not everybody, especially the media, though. They want to look at this through whatever political prism that they see life through, rather than seeing it for what it is. Anyway, brief time out here. Again, we will we'll cover the president's remarks at 2 Eastern when he starts. He's appearing and speaking at the convocation at VTech. Back after this. Sit tight. Now, I know it's natural. Everybody wants to throw their theories into this and come up with perhaps a unique explanation. And I think it's simple because, or to understand, it's natural because people have a tough time accepting a relatively simple explanation for something of this scale. But how many people are playing video games out there? I mean, how many millions of people play video games? How many millions of people have guns? If you start blaming the video games, you may as well demand video game control, because it's the same thing when you start trying to blame guns for this. You have here, you have a sick individual, an evil individual, who committed a random act. But if you want to start blaming the video games, yeah, this guy was this or that, well, then you gotta maybe talk about banning them, because that's the same tact that's taken with guns. You got one guy who uses a gun, that's, well, and you're falling prey to the same way the drive-bys propagandize and is, well, we need gun control. We got to get guns out of the hands of people. By the same token, we got liberal college professors all over the country, and they inculcate kids with what's wrong with this country, but they still don't all run around on mass shooting sprees. So while there may be individual explanations for what it was that got into this guy's head, and you can't leave the girlfriend theory out of this, that he was rejected and felt out of sorts over that. Even in that sense, people suffer heartbreak all the time, and the vast majority of them don't run around and start shooting at people to break their hearts. So you got to be real careful here not to paint with broad brushes on these things. You got to be very careful not to plug this into your own individual political prism, because then you become no different to what the drive-bys are doing. If you just wait, eventually we'll find out more than we want to know about this guy. And you're going to have to listen to what's reported about this guy with keen ears, and you're going to have to read with sharp eyes out there, because the drive-bys are going to report about this guy in ways that will advance their political agenda, because that's what this story is to them. This is Faith in Lake City, Florida. Glad you called, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Rush. Mega dittos.
Thank you.
I was listening to your show and had Fox on with the sound off and saw a little thing across the bottom that said that he was on a medication for depression. And immediately my mind flashed back to the 1990 school shootings and how many of those kids were on either on medication or going off medication. And I'm not saying that the medication maybe caused it, but, you know, there's something innate in all of us, hopefully, that keeps us, even if we're angry or whatever, from going through to that next step. And this medication sometimes messes with brain chemistry, and that could have been, and I don't know, something that sent him over the edge.
What school shooting in 1990 are you talking about?
In the 90s.
You're talking about Columbine?
Columbine, and then the high school shootings that preceded that. The one in Arkansas, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And all those kids were on some sort of...
Well, several of them were.
Do you remember what the drug was? Were they on Ritalin for ADD, or were they on...
I think it was depression or psychotropic. But a lot of those now... say, have warnings on them that say, you know, could cause...
Have you looked at the warning on a pamphlet that comes with any drug? I mean, any drug you take can cause 1,000 things to go...
That's true.
Diarrhea, headache, vomiting, nausea, temporary insanity. I mean, if people actually read these little pamphlets that came with every drug, nobody'd take one.
I agree with that. But if he's already that far gone on medicine for depression... It could be the trigger. I don't know.
Well, it'll all come out in the wash at some point. And virtually everything we learn about the guy at some point will fit somebody's political or social agenda. This is and as I say, the easiest explanation, temporarily insane guy, nutcase, wacko, maybe sick and evil. Well, that's too simple. Has to be something more complicated that led to this. Well, because people can't comprehend doing this themselves. And if you're not insane, you can't comprehend that either. If you're not evil, it's hard to comprehend it. Everybody bases things on their own personal reference points. Kathleen in Defiance, Ohio, you're next on the EIB Network. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Long-time listener.
I appreciate that.
I am a... nurse in the mental health field. I work at a psychiatric unit, have worked outpatient and inpatient. You cannot force someone to take medication unless you can court order it. Now, for right now, we don't know if this guy has done anything more than go to his family doctor and say, I'm depressed, give me an antidepressant. Don't know which one it is. If it's the wrong medication,
We don't even know that. We don't even know that he was on anything, do we?
No, we don't. We're speculating.
Well, wait a minute. Did they run a crawl he was taking? Okay, I'm sorry. Faith just said that Fox ran a crawl he was on something, but it wasn't identified.
We're speculating right now what he's been taking and what his medical history is.
Yep.
Until you have become a risk to yourself or someone else, as in... major intentions known or acted on them, you know, they can take you to my ER and try to get you up on my unit, and we can't take you. We can't get you in because If you don't want to go, you won't go.
So it's the same old story. You call the cops, say, somebody I know is going to break into my house at 8 tomorrow morning. They can't do anything until the house is broken into.
Right, right.
You're
it's
saying the same thing.
That way in mental health, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Darn, I wish we could read people's minds. I wish we knew exactly what medication to give them, but we don't. Life is uncertain.
So in you say you're a psych nurse?
Yeah.
Okay, so how about the explanation? This is a random act. A sick person had evil intent.
Yeah, sounds like what I've taken care of before.
All right, now I know the psychiatry industry would love to dig into these people and try to find out, just because it's the nature of their work. Okay, why was he evil? Why was this kid sick? What was it that would force somebody to go off the rails like this when most people stay within the guardrails of society?
Usually, the biggest common denominator is early childhood abuse or trauma. And this can even be something that's not intentional. So, gosh, we're going to follow you around.
Well, in that case, that happens to everybody, too.
Yes.
That happens to everybody, too. So that can't be the explanation, totally.
Well, that's one of the predisposing factors. And then there's your life. And we could nitpick it to pieces, but it turns out a lot to be your choice.
Aha! I knew if I waited and employed the patience of the host that I am so well known for, we'd get your choice. Obviously chose to do it, but people are going to say, no, he didn't choose to do it. He was driven to do it by America's unfairness and debauchery or what have you. You just wait, folks. All right, we have to take a break here, but the president due to start speaking in a couple of minutes or so at VTech, and when we come back, we will gyp that and some of the convocation that they were having down at the university back here in just a second.